We heard from the pen of St. Paul, "Brothers and sisters, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because the loaf of bread is one, we, though many, are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf." If there's anything that we know about the church, it's that God has called us to be one, to be united in heart and mind, to be of one heart, one mind, to be united in our belief, in our practice of the faith, that together we can bring the gospel to the world. In that unity that we have, there's also a different call. Some are called to married life, some are called to priesthood, we're called to different kinds of jobs and occupations, but every one of us enters into this vocation with the fact that we are Christian. We have that mark that's there. Now, how we live that Christianity is going to be decided by God and the call that He gives to each of us. During this time of year, as many dioceses are having ordinations and many priests are celebrating their anniversaries and so on, I was talking with Father Tom and Father Richard and Father Glad about the number of priests that we have that come from the town of Villeplat, priests from the different parishes that are here. And not just priests, but also how many have given themselves to the religious life. It speaks volumes about the kind of family life we have in Villeplat, the kind of faith life that we have here, that we have young people who even just consider the possibility of dedicating their lives to God in a religious vocation. It's a marvelous blessing and a testament to the faith that we have here. We have many who've done this, given their lives to Christ as priests to serve the entire church. But as I said at the beginning of Mass, today while we celebrate the great feast of Corpus Christi and the fact that Jesus gave us the priesthood to continue the sacrifice of Calvary for the salvation of the church, we also celebrate as Americans Father's Day. And those two vocations of fatherhood in the natural sense and fatherhood in the supernatural sense of the priesthood go together in building up the body of Christ. That's what the Eucharist does. It forges us as one. We, though many, are one body, for we all partake of the body, blood, soul, and divinity of the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. And so these two vocations, the natural gift of fatherhood, sanctified by the sacrament of holy matrimony, makes a man the priest of the domestic church, the high priest who leads his family in prayer, leads his family in devotion, and shows them the way to God. Then you've got the sacramental priesthood, the ministerial ordained priesthood, where a man is chosen by God to lead the parish, the universal church, into the bosom of the Father. In both these vocations, in fatherhood, we see the origin as being in the fatherhood of God. That's where it comes from. Fatherhood finds its origin in God the Father, from whom all good things come, as we pray. Let's go back to last week's Feast of the Trinity, right? We celebrated the fact that God is unity in one, in Trinity in unity, one God, three persons, but then you've got God the Father, who is the creator of all things, who gives the Word to us as a gift to bring us the truth. As Jesus said, "Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me." But everything finds its origin again, where? In the Father. We know that God the Father, by His Word, created Adam. Adam is made in the image and likeness of God, formed by God, with those gifts to be able to love freely, to choose freely, and to think rationally. Adam formed by God. From Adam's side, God creates Eve and gives her as a gift to Adam. Adam, in his fatherhood, gives his seed to his wife, and together in their love for one another, as God commanded them, they bring forth new life. A soul infused by God Himself, but you have a living being, a human person, made in the image and likeness of God. How profound a mystery that is. That the fatherhood of a man is seen in the fatherhood of God. With that fatherhood, a man is given responsibility. The responsibility of loving his family, his wife, his children. He is responsible for loving them, caring for them, providing for them, and protecting them. To love, to care for, to provide for, and to protect his wife, his children. A man is meant to be like God, a creator, a hard worker, a gentle and a wise teacher, especially to his sons, of what it is to be a man of faith, a Christian man who follows the gospel. A man is truly a man when, first of all, he is faithful to his creator, faithful to Christ, and a man of the church, being faithful to the church. Every man called by God to be a man of prayer, who prays not only for himself, but for his wife and his children, to be the husband, to be the father that God is asking him to be. He's a man who is faithful to the Mass, faithful to receiving the sacraments, faithful to continue learning and teaching his faith, and he is there to lead his family in the faith. He does this by his word, but also by his example. He's a man who, I said, does an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. A man who is not a liar, not a glutton, not a drunkard, not a womanizer, neither a miser nor a spendthrift, but every Christian man called by God to be a man worthy of respect due to his integrity, his trustworthiness, and his commitment to doing what is right and what is good. It's a lofty ideal, to be sure, but this is the vocation that we have. God calls us to holiness, and this is how a father finds his holiness. We all know that a father, of course, is, after all, only a man. And as a human being, he's going to make human mistakes. But it's not for his wife to ridicule or to nag him. It's not for his children to deride or to abandon him. Keep in mind that in a family, each one is there to help the other to be reconciled to God and to one another. That's what a family does. We are there to help one another to be reconciled to God and to be reconciled to one another. Each person in the family helping the other to seek and to follow God's will. Simple as that. From these families, God calls most sons to the married state, like their fathers to become husbands and fathers themselves. Others, though, God is going to call and ask them to follow his only begotten son to the ministerial priesthood. We priests, like our fathers in nature, are called to be fathers in grace. And we, like them, have that same responsibility of loving the family of God, caring for the family of God, providing for, spiritually and sometimes materially, the bride of Christ, you, the church, who become our bride at the same time. You become our children at the same time. Like the father of a family, every priest is called to be a hard worker, with the multitude of demands asked for a priest, in celebrating the Mass, the sacraments, visiting the sick and homebound, meetings, classes, counseling, funerals, and so on. But we are there to give our lives, as a father does, for the family of God. He's called to be a wise teacher, most especially by his example in the Christian life, as the priest is faithful to the church, faithful to Christ, the high priest. More than anything else, a priest is called to be a man of prayer. In fact, we have a saying among the priesthood that the priest who doesn't pray is a priest who doesn't stay. And that's true of the priest. It's true also of every Christian when you think about it. The priest must, at the same time, faithfully, with care, with devotion and love, celebrate the Mass and the sacraments for God's people. We're here to carefully teach and to explain the gospel. You know, as priests, we don't get paid very much, but we are very well provided for, as you can see by the girth that is under this chasuble. Something that we're very grateful for, but honestly, with the honor and the respect we get, it's oftentimes undeserved. But a priest should never forget that he is called to be the priest that the people of God both need and deserve. What you need and deserve. Like any other human father, a priest should not be a liar or a deceiver. He should not be a glutton or a drunkard. He should not be unfaithful to his promise of celibate chastity, neither a miser nor a spendthrift, but be a man worthy of respect due to his integrity and trustworthiness, his commitment to the truth, always remembering that he is part of something and represents something that is far bigger than himself. As we know, every priest is still a man, like any other man, subject to human weakness. Like any man, he's going to have good days and he's going to have bad days. We all know there are sometimes that we wake up with this very big bolt of energy inside us and we just want to get out of bed and say, "Good morning, God," and tackle the day. Other times we kind of get up and don't feel quite so much energy and we're thinking, "Oh, good God, morning," and we're not ready to tackle the day. It's human. That's how we are. We all have those limitations. Sometimes priests even will drop the ball, but it's not for others to ridicule, to deride, or to nag him, but to forgive and to pray for him that he might be reconciled to God and to the church, especially in those serious cases of scandal. Again, after all, we are one body, one spirit in Christ. We are meant to be a family, the family of God, and we're all here to help one another to seek and to follow God's will. That's what it means for us to be the body of Christ. And we become the body of Christ by participating in what we're doing right now. Celebrating the Mass, offering to God ourselves and our gifts of bread and wine, and God gives us Himself to draw us one another. Why did God give us the priesthood to begin with? Why did Jesus do that? Remember, it was at the Last Supper, in other words, the first Mass, that He made His apostles the first priests sharing in His priesthood. And we can say it was for forgiveness of sins, and it was, and for the preaching of the gospel, and it was, but most especially for the Eucharist. The command of Jesus to the apostles was, do this in memory of me. And why did He give us the Eucharist? As I said, it's to unite us. To unite us to Himself as we're united to one another. He unites us through Himself. To be a united family as every family is meant to be. One in faith, one in hope, and one in love. Gentlemen, all you who are fathers, lead your families to this sacred table. Lead your families here. Feed them well by your word, by your example, by the sacraments you bring your children, your wives, your families to. Lead them to the kingdom of God, our Father in heaven, the Father from whom all good things come.